Is anyone familiar with Kevin Hart and the Oscars? What happened with that? Anybody familiar?
A little bit.
No, a little bit.
Comedian.
Short version is that the comedian, Kevin Hart, was chosen to host the Oscars this year. Some folks looked through his Twitter history and found some old jokes that could be taken negatively against homosexuals. Tweets that were basically back from 2009 through 2011. So they were at least 7 years old, 8 years old. He apologized. Do you think that was enough? Hey, look at this. Ready? I want you to see what you just said and what I say. Right there. What's that say?
Of course not.
Of course not. At a minimum, they wanted to extract significant penance from him. A simple lashing wasn't enough. I suspect a whole bunch of others basically consider it an unforgivable sin, what he did, whether or not they consciously recognize that or not. His genuine repentance, and it did seem genuine, his genuine repentance for his comments weren't satisfactory. And of course, that's but a small example of what social media doles out every day. Say something bad, or that can be interpreted as bad. Remember that, it's not just bad. Say something bad, or that can be interpreted as bad, in your online presence, and that could be it. The mob will attack, and given the opportunity, will take anything and everything from you. They will get you fired. He got fired. Well, it's true that he withdrew, but he withdrew because based on previous history, we know what would happen, right? Yeah, exactly. Well, which goes to my next point. It doesn't matter how many years ago it was. It doesn't matter how young or immature you were. And even as adults, he was probably an adult at that point, but we mature. It doesn't matter how much you've matured. And it doesn't matter if you have genuinely apologized. Your sins are unforgivable, especially if they offend modern social justice warrior sensibilities. And the reason I say that is because we have had some cases. As a matter of fact, I think there was a liberal person who's on probably MSNBC who said, I believe it was homophobic things, using their term, I don't like the term myself, but homophobic things, she got off. Difference is, well, Kevin Hart probably is a liberal too, for all I know, but the fact is, they let her off because at least she did everything else right. Basically, if you go against what the social justice warrior people like, and of all things, you are a conservative, you're hosed. That's it. They will get you fired. They will take whatever they can. They will try to make it so you never work again. Today, I'm going to share three principles of forgiveness. And I should say this in case somebody's listening to it afterwards. It doesn't mean all liberals do this. I think that's very important. There are liberals who don't do this. There is a class of liberals who basically will do whatever they can to demonize their opponents. So if you're a liberal and you're listening to this, I'm not throwing you in with the mix. I should also say this. If you are a conservative and you're listening to this and you do this, you are just as wrong as a liberal who does it. And conservatives do try to do it sometimes too. No grace. Okay, we're going to talk about three principles today of forgiveness we need to remember in this age of social media, starting with one from Luke chapter 17, verses 3 and 4. Luke chapter 1, chapter 17, verses 3 through 4. Are we there? Pay attention to yourselves. Mine has an exclamation point. Of course, in the original Greek, there was no punctuation. But pay attention to yourselves. If your brother sins, rebuke him. And if he repents, what? What does it say?
Forgive
him, right? And if he sins against you seven times in the day and turns to you seven times saying, I repent, you must forgive him. Does that, what we just read, Does what we just read say, if your brother sins, rebuke him, and if he repents to your satisfaction, forgive him? No. Okay, how about Colossians chapter 3, 12 through 13? Colossians chapter 3, 12 through 13. Chapter 3, verses 12 and 13. Put on then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other, as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. Now that one, does it say, as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also should forgive? My wife shakes her head. No! Principle number one. Principle number one for forgiveness in a social media age. When someone says they're sorry, you must forgive them. Did you get that? When someone, kids, you get that too? Look at me, just quickly. If someone says they're sorry, you must forgive them. It's not a choice in the Bible. Does that make sense? Yeah. As hard as it may be. Now, don't get me wrong. How many people kind of use their I'm sorrys as a scam? You know, like the modern forms of the non-apology apologies. Neville, I'm sorry if you were offended. That's not an apology. Either I did something that was right to offend you or not, right? The other thing, because one time I did a Twitter thing about what apologies weren't. Apologies also aren't followed by a but, right? Mm-hmm. You don't say, Neville, I'm sorry I said something mean to you, but you're a jerk. Well, that's a bad example because that's an insult afterwards. And you're not, by the way, Neville. I'm not sneaking stuff in here. I don't feel that way. But I'm saying, I can say, Neville, I'm sorry that I said something mean to you, but you stepped on my foot. Right? That's not an apology.
And as soon as the word if gets in there.
If, yeah, exactly. If, yeah.
Then there's something wrong.
And it, generally, best thing to do, ready, with an apology is, Neville, I'm sorry. I was wrong. And you know what? It could be something where they did something wrong too, but the reality is just say that. You'll have time in the future. Separate it. Don't talk about 30 seconds later or whatever either. Separate it. Then deal with the issue. But in essence, if you've wronged somebody, you say, I'm sorry. So basically, if they use one of those modern non-apology apologies, you don't have to accept it. You don't have to accept it. You know it's bogus. However, if you have no good reason to distrust their genuineness, if you have no good reason to distrust the genuineness of their I'm sorry, then you must forgive them. When someone says they're sorry, you must forgive them. That's the first principle. So, just a question. See if you guys are listening. So if someone says something stupid on Twitter or on Facebook or on Instagram or some other social media platform, they realize it and they ask for forgiveness, what must you do? Forgive them. That's right. Okay. I'm not going to spend much time on it, but one of the things that came up, because I don't want, there are things that are black and white. That's black and white. You need to forgive them. They say, I'm sorry, and they mean it. You need to forgive them. So I'm not going to spend a bunch of time on this because I don't want to muddy the waters and what isn't clear about forgiveness. But someone might ask, do I have to forgive someone if they haven't apologized? You understand that question? Do I have to forgive somebody if they don't apologize? In an article that I read this morning while I was proofreading this, it was called, Should I Forgive Someone Who's Not Sorry They Sinned? A transcript. It divided the attitude of forgiveness from the act of forgiveness. Does that make sense? The attitude of forgiveness from the act of forgiveness. With the act, the latter, the act being what we're actually discussing here. For the former, they referred to Mark 11:25. We're going to look at 20 through 25. So Mark 11:20-25. So for the former, what did I call it again? Or what do they call it? An attitude of forgiveness. It was Mark 11, 25. We're going to go 20 through 25. Let's look at that together. Are we there? Okay. As they passed by in the morning, they saw the fig tree withered away to its roots. And Peter remembered and said to him, Rabbi, look, the fig tree that you cursed has withered. And Jesus answered them, have faith in God. Truly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be taken up and thrown into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says will come to pass, it will be done for him. Therefore I tell you, whatever you ask in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours. And whenever you stand praying, what does it say to do?
Forgive.
Right. And whenever you stand praying, forgive if you have anything against anyone, so that your Father also who is in heaven may forgive you your trespasses. Mark 11:25 does not seem to require an apology for forgiveness, does it? Say you're praying, got something against somebody, forgive them. But we know that our forgiveness from God required what?
Repentance.
His forgiveness required repentance. And we know that it continues to, because if you look at, say, 1 John 3:9, it says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful to forgive them. But we still have to confess our sins. So the article had a point when it went on to say that we should always have an attitude of forgiveness, but before we publicly forgive someone, we should wait for their I'm sorry. That seems to make sense to me. That we should have an attitude of forgiveness. It's for our own good not to hold things against people. But before you actually, you know, the article actually talked about how there'll be people who, like, their child is murdered, and they'll say, the family will go and say, forgive the murderer. And it's like, now the person doesn't have any reason to say, I'm sorry, right? The fact is the public act of forgiving people should probably be dependent on them actually asking for it. But you personally can have an attitude of forgiveness. Does that make sense? I like that. Let's keep that in mind as we continue. And as we continue, those verses that we originally read in Luke touched on the second principle that I'm going to share about forgiveness in the social media age. But before I say what that is, let's read about it a second time in Matthew 18:21-22. Matthew 18:21-22. So haven't we all done this, by the way? We're asked to do something we don't want to do, so we see how much we can limit it, right? Somebody says, you know, you need to do X, and we say, well, can I do X minus Y instead? Or when you say X, do you mean X as in this big X, or do you mean X as in this little X? Well, that's what's happening with Peter here, right? Then Peter came up and said to him, Lord, how often will my brother sin against me and I forgive him? As many as seven times? What's Jesus respond? Jesus said to him, I do not say to you seven times, but 70 times seven. But 70 times seven. So what's 70 times seven?
490.
Okay. So let's work this out together. So if today someone says something stupid on Twitter and asks to be forgiven, and then tomorrow says something else stupid and asks to be forgiven, and so on, are you off the hook after the first time? Not based on this, right? The next time that they prove that they are truly an evil person, you don't have to cut them any more slack? No, quite the opposite, right? I mean, from what we just read. Principle number two for forgiveness in the social media age, you must continue to forgive people even if they keep messing up. Did you get that? You must continue to forgive people even if they keep messing up. So that's one of the gotchas. What will happen is somebody who's had an issue may say something stupid again. There'll be a seat. That proves it. Person's horrendous. No, the person's a sinner like the rest of us. And by the way, Jesus wasn't setting some maximum so that when somebody blows it the 491st time, you no longer have to forgive them. He wasn't saying that, was he? No, he was saying there is no limit to the number of times you must forgive. You must continue to forgive people even if they keep messing up. Okay, for our third and final principle of forgiveness in the social media age, let's read a couple separate references. The first is in Luke chapter 6, 37 and 38. Luke 6, 37 and 38. Judge not, and you will not be judged. Condemn not, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. Before we talk about it, let's look at Matthew 6, 14 and 15. Matthew 6, 14 and 15. Do we have it? Okay. For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Simple question. If you don't forgive others, will you be forgiven? No, it says it clearly, doesn't it? Principle number three for forgiveness in the social media age. If you do not forgive others, you will not be forgiven. If you do not forgive others, you will not be forgiven. Now, one would hope that the fact that God says you should forgive would be enough. But just in case some people don't get the point, hopefully this stark reality, it is a stark reality, isn't it? Do you want to be told God's not going to forgive you? Hopefully this stark reality will scare them into getting their act together. Unforgiving people will not be forgiven. The Holy Spirit changes people. Do we all agree with that?
Yes.
The Holy Spirit changes people. We are slowly changed into the image of the one who forgave us, who saved us. As such, we forgive as the Lord forgives. If we are people who are unwilling to forgive, then there's a decent chance we haven't been changed and that we aren't saved. If you, or me, are unforgiving, your true Lord is unforgiving. And that Lord is not Jesus. Does that make sense? If you are unforgiving, then your true Lord is not forgiving. And that Lord is not Jesus. If you do not forgive others, you will not be forgiven. So we have three simple principles for forgiveness in a social media age. Number one, when someone says they're sorry, you must what?
Forgive them.
Number two, you must continue to forgive people even if they keep messing up. And number three, if you do not forgive others, you will not be forgiven. Now before we go, let's look at something Jesus said in the upper room to his disciples. This is Matthew 26, verses 26 through 29. Matthew 26, verses 26 through 29. Yep. Are we there? Now as they were eating, Jesus took bread and after blessing it, broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body." And he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you, for this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the what? forgiveness of sins. I tell you that I will not drink again of this fruit of the vine until the day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. Our forgiveness was extremely costly. Jesus did not hold back to provide us that costly forgiveness. However, forgiveness on our part costs nothing. Does it? Does it cost anything to forgive somebody? Forgiveness on our part costs nothing. So what is our excuse for not forgiving as he has forgiven us? For holding back our forgiveness on those who have wronged us? We have no excuse. Be like Jesus during this social media age. Forgive. Now normally I would stop here, because you like to stop talking about Jesus, don't you? It's a good stopping point. But I wanted to wrap up with an excerpt from Amy Hollingsworth's book, The Simple Faith of Mr. Rogers, Spiritual Insights from the World's Most Beloved Neighbor. Just a second here, I gotta wipe my nose quickly here. So here's the quote. Fred told me during our first meeting, I'll never forget one time, and this was in Dr. Orr's latest years in the nursing home, Joanne, who was Mr. Rogers' wife. That would make her Mrs. Rogers, right? Joanne and I used to visit him every Sunday in a nursing home. And then parentheses, it says, a fellow seminary graduate once noted that Fred's fateful visits with Dr. Orr were typical of his, quote, pastoral sensitivity, unquote. Close parentheses. And if you think about it, here's a pretty famous guy visiting somebody every week who had been his teacher and mentor. And we had just sung A Mighty Fortress Is Our God at the service, and I just wanted so much to ask him the question. I said, Dr. Orr, you know, so this is Mr. Rogers talking about the conversation with Dr. Orr. Dr. Orr, you know in that verse, it says something about, how does it go? The Prince of Darkness grim, we tremble not for him, and then goes on, and then at the very end of the verse it says, one little word shall fell him. We can look at the song, it's kind of neat. One little word shall fell him. I said, Dr. Orr, what is that one little word that would wipe out the Prince of Darkness? Fell him. He thought for a moment and said, forgiveness. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He said, you know, Fred, there is one thing that evil cannot stand, and that's forgiveness. That's meant the world, this is again Mr. Rogers talking, Fred Rogers. That's meant the world to me. And you've been able to pass it on to others, I offered. This is Amy, that was her name, saying back to him, I offered. He sighed deeply. It's one of the toughest things in the world when somebody has hurt you, and you can find within yourself the strength to begin the whole process of forgiveness. And it turns out to be the gift to you, not so much the gift to the person you're forgiving. And that's the mercy of God too, Amy says, right? Absolutely, he agreed. And his eyes filled with tears that it reaches to both people. Be like Jesus and Mr. Rogers, and probably Dr. Orr, forgive.